Hi, this is Jay Nemerow. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 658. And, probably an interesting idea that came into my head. First, let me say, just for housekeeping and stuff like that, I know it's been some time by the clock since I've done very many podcasts. It's because I haven't been traveling as much. I'm taking a huge trip today up to Raton, so you'll probably get a month's worth of podcasts now in just a couple of days. And we're going to continue with the normal procedure of basically putting up a new podcast every day or two or three. Even though they have been recorded either long in the past or, you know, stuff like that, just to keep it kind of regular, although I don't record them on a regular basis, try to put them out kind of on a little regular basis so people get used to the fact that it just kind of comes out a regular thing. Here's the title of this episode. It is called Using Freedom to Destroy Liberty. And I can only imagine that that is a little bit, that for a lot of people, they'll scratch their heads and go, I'm confused. Because a lot of people equate freedom with liberty. And I think that's an inappropriate, it isn't true. Freedom and liberty don't mean the same thing. Exactly. And I came up with this title, and I came up with this idea, and it made my little heart sing, so I had to talk about it on a podcast. Because I think that's what we're doing today. Well, I use we euphemistically. The American people are using their freedom to destroy their liberty. In the United States, now the United States began, excuse me, as a representative republic. Boy, that guy's going way too fast. That's what you always get. You get state police that consistently break the law because they're above it. Who's going to pull them over and tell them not to? Now, I'm not saying all of them do that. It's just interesting when I do see one that's driving down the road. He doesn't have his lights and his siren on, but he's driving about 90 down a 55-mile-an-hour road, which is what I'm on. I'm on a 55-mile-an-hour road. A rather small, it's not a country lane, but it certainly is a place, is a road that's between two places that don't really have a lot of traffic between them. Whenever I'm on this road, I'm usually on the road predominantly by myself. Interesting. Anyway, you know, just an observation, not cursing anything, not saying that anything isn't whatever. Just saying, hey, this is the way it is. And if people say, oh no, things like that never happen, you know, Pollyannish sort of people who think that the world is a wonderful place and most people are basically doing, you know, being, you know, obeying laws and being good, it's like, come on, get serious. Almost nobody does. The rule of law is almost a farce. Anyway, I guess that does kind of get me back to the whole thing. Okay, little gay history lesson, because I've got my own take on nearly everything. You know, you could say, well, you haven't read your history books, and I will steadfastly say, and which history books would you suppose are the right ones, as opposed to the other history books, which are obviously wrong. You know, even when there's a consensus among historians, it can just be as well that they have decided to form a consensus around something that's not true. You know, there's no way of telling. You might as well enjoy it, because history really is written by the victors. And it's continuously rewritten by the victors of every single battle in history. Even the battle over stuff like, was Abraham Lincoln the great, a great president, or was he a tyrant that destroyed all kinds of liberties? You know? I don't know. I'm willing to see both sides on this one, and to say, well, you know, it's a possibility. Either one could be true. Anyway, so we start out as a representative republic. You know, we elect representatives, and those representatives go and they form the legislature. There's the executive branch, the judicial branch, and yada, yada, yada. I must make a little side point here that I'm very happy with the Supreme Court. I'm so impressed that they actually have chosen to uphold part of the Constitution. It seems like in a day when we're riding whole hog, running over it, and basically trampling it into the dirt because we ignore it, it's really refreshing to see a very clear thing that says, no, we support the Constitution of the United States. The sad part is, of course, that it was, as usual, a 5-4 decision. That it's mostly along ideological lines, and if the court would have been composed as it was 10 years ago, it would have gone the other way. It would have gone the other way, and people would have basically had their guns and rifles stripped away from them, to the point to where, you know, you would have to hope and pray for the police, who, if they're any good, would be coming, but they'd be there in 10 or 15 minutes. And after 10 or 15 minutes, your family could be dead. You know, things happen that fast. Police can't respond that quickly to calls that are coming. I don't care how good they are. They can't break the laws of physics to get there quicker. At least our present understanding of physics can't do it. Anyway, so that was a little aside to say, thank goodness there are still some people who are supporting at least pieces of the Constitution. Of course, this same group, this same court, I'm sure, would be totally against most civil liberties. You know, it just happens to be the gun one is kind of a darling of those who are in power right now. So I'm not saying, oh, hail the day that we all respect the Constitution. Trust me, it's only in one thing. And when you're a constitutionalist like I am, and very liberty-loving, you know, you have to be very guarded about your enthusiasm about these things, because it will likely be pretty short-lived. Anyway, so, representative republic, I think it's actually called something else, but that's okay, that's basically what it was set up to kind of function as. I already saw how straight democracies go, and that's what America is pulling toward, being a straight democracy. People want to win. Certain parties want to win. And the Constitution was kind of a moderator to make sure that the tyranny of the majority wouldn't stomp all over the rights of a minority, or over the rights of everybody, frankly. And that was one of the reasons why the Constitution was set up. That was one of the reasons why the Bill of Rights was written in the first place, was because they wanted to avoid the tyranny of the majority. That there were some things that would be ruled absolute and you couldn't really touch without a whole lot of wrangling, you know. You have to have 3/4 of both houses of Congress, 3/4 of the states agree with it to make a constitutional amendment. And, you know, that's difficult. That's difficult. And for good reason. They didn't want to make it easy to add things to the Constitution. Because then the tyranny of the majority would be much easier just to do on just any random thing. We're going to ban chewing gum because we think it causes cavities. You know, and the silliness of having that kind of stupidity written into the Constitution. Not that it's wrong, but that why on earth should that be a pillar of society? What kind of idiocy is that? Even though we started out as a representative republic, and even though nominally we still keep that form of government, what has ultimately happened is we basically have two groups, Republicans and Democrats. They tend to have almost the flip side of a coin. Most libertarians look at the two major parties and say they basically behave the same way. They have different rhetoric, but when they get into any kind of authority or power, they basically react the same way to things. You know, people say, oh, if we get the Democrats, one of the political parties in the United States, into power, they will end the war. We will get out of Iraq and everything will be good again. And that's not true. And most intelligent pundits even would tell you that. That, you know, it's not going to happen. The Democrats will use that as their rhetoric to get themselves elected, get a lot of disparate groups to vote for them that are just anti-war and anti-occupation. I'm anti-war and I'm anti-occupation in this case, but I'm not going to vote for the Democrats because I know they're liars. I know they're simply using it to get votes, to get their representatives and their president into power, and then once that happens, they'll be saying, oh, once we see what's on the ground, once we actually understand what's happening, we can't leave Iraq. We can't get out of there. We need to have bases there. It's so vitally important to our interests. And they'll start talking just like the Republicans do. So you have kind of this weird thing going on. I think this is probably the first time where it doesn't matter what the will of the people is. You know, for a long time, the majority of Americans... the majority of Americans don't want to be in Iraq. Heard too many stories, just want to be out. You know, I think it's been as high as 70%. That's a very strong majority of Americans that don't really want to be there. Now that doesn't matter. Congress is going to do whatever it wants to do, no matter what the people think. Because they've got an interesting separation from the people. You know, people like their individual congressmen and senators often, even though they vote for these things. And there's all kinds of games played to make this more interesting and more important to people. You know, you have all this stuff. You have this essential disconnect. Our representative... Republic has now become something of a tyranny of 500 people over everybody else. Whatever they think is right happens. You know, and now secrets are being used. You know, everything is now a secret. The general public isn't allowed to know what's going on. I don't know if they're afraid that if the general public heard that they would start, you know, hanging everybody. There'd be lynch mobs going around trying to kill everybody. I don't know. But, you know. So, we have this whole different circumstance here. Almost as if there is a new coming, and it's been coming for years. It isn't like this has been new, but it's been gradual enough that people either discount it or don't, or they're fine that they don't care. There's a certain percentage of people who like what the coming dictatorship is going to do. It isn't the majority at all, but it's enough that it kind of dampens the whole thing. You know, it's hard to get a lynch mob going when only 70% of people are going to go and be a part of the lynch mob. And they're not very excited about doing it either. You know, this is a country, we can affect things through our representatives, and they're slowly finding out that they really can't. The representatives aren't listening to them. The representatives are meeting behind closed doors often, I guess. That's where a lot of these things get done. And the momentum is against what the majority of Americans do. So and there's a flip side to that problem, in that now, much of the 70% is starting to get into the thing, hey, let's just abandon the republic and go for a straight democracy. We'll vote on everything. There's always been voices calling out for that situation. But the problem is, our whole way of doing things was set up originally, and well, you know, and well set up, not because of evil, I think, to prevent just that thing from happening that a larger group is starting to clamor for. The tyranny of the masses is getting to be this way. So we're having almost a battle between two evils. The tyranny of the masses and, you know, the kind of the coming fascist state that I think we're much further into is toward fascism, where you know, important people, you may get to pick in some small way who those important people are. Of course, they keep you fragmented, and they keep you bickering along party lines so that you think that you're winning, losing, that, you know, you spend your energy trying to vote for one party or another when it's like it doesn't matter which party wins. What ultimately wins is, you know, the fascist state. Keep them bickering among each other. Keep your constituencies constantly at each other's throats, telling each other how nasty and horrible they are. And the fascists can just entrench themselves more. You know, I was just thinking a couple of days ago how much training goes into the making of a congressman or a senator. When you go to Congress, so much time is taken trying to train you on how things work. And part of that training is indoctrination into fascism. Of course, all that power that you have when you're in Congress and the stuff that you do that your constituency really doesn't pay much attention to, because let me tell you, the news media isn't taking any time to tell you that. Your local rate news station is not telling you the blow-by-blow things of what's going on with your congressman or your senator. They don't tell you at all. Those people, once they get elected, are mostly free to do as they wish. Most people don't know about their voting records. And nobody's gung-ho to really talk about it. You know, you'll say, oh boy, we really hear about it in the campaigns. I hear the stuff they voted for and they vote against. It's like, no, you're not. You may be getting a couple of things that they think are hot-button issues. It says, but really substantial things are predominantly ignored, and they can be. You know, it's news is much more exciting when it's kind of tawdry, and when it's about terrorist attacks and things going on in other countries that are just atrocities. That's what consumes news now. It has nothing to do about local needs particularly. They'll tell you about who crashed into who's shooting who died. But they're not going to tell you what your government is up to. Because that's not interesting. That's not interesting to most people. Most people don't like that. I think each congressional district should have kind of a consumer, I don't know if consumer watch, but a newspaper or something along those lines that talks about what is their guy up to. Now, all districts have three people you need to keep up with when it comes to the federal government, or at least to the legislature. You have your one congressman that serves your district, and then you have the two senators that represent your state as a whole, but which also represent your district. So you can keep tabs on those three people. And that's a manageable thing that could be happening. But we see it so rarely, there's nothing that I know of in my district that would do that. It would be, I think, fun and interesting to do that kind of a thing. And you can be as partisan as you want. You don't go out there and say, I'm going to try to be objective about this. Say, no, I'm going to be very subjective. I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm going to tell you my biases and go out and do these things. I think that could make, I mean, not everybody in your district would take it. And other things would pop up trying to be a counterpoint to you, you know, to say, oh, Nemro's wrong, Nemro's a whack. And you go, hey, it doesn't matter. This is, are you fulfilling a, you know, are you getting information out there? Even if people say, hey, he's slanted, you go, well, you know what? I'm not getting any other information about what my representatives are really up to, what they're really doing. You notice that their campaigns or their offices are not being forthcoming, are they? You never hear anything from these offices. If you depend upon your local news source to get this information, it won't happen except to say, hey, there's a rock star coming through. Your representative has finally consented to come down from his gilded chair in Washington and walk among you mere peons. And he comes and he pats you on the head, listens to your concerns with a very concerned scowl on his face, and nodding and saying, yes, yes, I hear your problem. And then he goes up to Washington and does whatever the heck he pleases. Because he doesn't care about you particularly. He only does that so he can continue to get your vote 2 years from now or 6 years from now when he has to get reelected, or she, pardon me. Let's not get gender specific. Corruption works just as well for both sexes, and women should be proud. Women should be proud of how corrupt they've become. They're right up there with the big boys. Way to go. Yay! Wonderful! I'm glad Dianne Feinstein is just as ugly and nasty and corrupt and pandering as any other guy up there. Yay! Isn't women's liberation fantastic? Aren't you glad? What a bunch of dogs. Anyway. That might be an interesting thing to do, but I've got other fish to fry, honestly. And my original premise of doing this podcast was, of course, to talk about how people are using their freedom to destroy their liberty. And I think that's really what's happening. You know, people say, oh, well, you need to vote for good people. And you go, that's right, you do. But no good people really present themselves. No good people really do that. it's tempting to say, I will do that. You know, I'm not going to stoop to the kind of partisanship I think it would take to get elected, which means the chances of me getting elected are actually somewhat poor. You know, they said, well, which party do you belong to? And it's like, well, I don't really belong to any of them, particularly. Because I think that in their own special ways, each one is corrupt and wrong and has the wrong take on things. But that isn't really the biggest problem. The biggest problem is that they are, what's the best way to say it? Is that even when they give you your platform and you go, oh, I like this, I don't like that, that doesn't make any difference. Their platform is meaningless. They never follow it. It's all about what they think will get them elected. If they think following their party line would get them elected, well, they'll do that. If they don't think following the party line will get them elected, well, they won't do that. This is their morals flap around in the wind. Anyway, so I think that'd be an interesting thing. If there's somebody who wants to do that job. And like I said, there's no need to be objective about this. No need at all. You can be as subjective as you want to be. Trust me, everything else out there is somewhat subjective too. You know, when you go to a news outlet or when you're talking to somebody, that you're getting either the Republican slant or the Democrat slant or the conservative or the liberal. And, you know, That's just the way it's gonna be. This is, you know, you can put down what that guy, how the votes have went, but honestly, you know, people aren't gonna pay you just for the raw information. They might, but I think they pay for just the kind of fun of you taking people to task on stuff. I think you have to be authentic about that. I mean, if that's going to be your stick, you better stick with it. You know, I'm going to talk about what I think is right. Now, if you don't agree, of course, you don't have to get my little newsletter. But, you know, go for it. Go for it. Anyway, this is Jane Emerald. You've been listening to The Life Autistic. A little political one, but not really. More of a philosophical one. About how things have fallen apart in our country. And I do think that our country is just absolutely falling apart. Whatever good we have has been crucified in favor of, I don't know what. In favor of power and gain to certain groups. And that is the definition of corruption. It doesn't matter who is getting the power in the game, although that's what they desperately try to tell you is, hey, somebody else that doesn't believe what you do is getting power and gain. Your whole responsibility now is to help the other side, who maybe is a little more along the lines of what you would want, is to help those people get power and gain. You know, and it's like, wait a minute, whatever happened to the whole idea that we weren't going to let anybody really have power and gain? We were going to let people govern their own lives as much as possible and only have a government that was small and lean and provide a few services that people really desperately needed. Mostly in judicial ways, handling lawsuits, getting justice for encroachments on their liberties. Whatever happened to that? But that's not even the question anymore. When it came up, like when Ron Paul was telling it, people were almost treating him like a child. What a silly notion! Nobody cares about that. I don't care about that. You know, that was pretty much in those debates that were being had which was the only really interesting thing going on in the campaign. That's why now the campaign is boring to me. I don't care if John McCain or Barack Obama win. I think that's just tough. There's really nothing there. Because it doesn't make any sense. Well, no, I mean, it's not that it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't matter. They're both going to do basically what has always been done. They'll basically do the same things, put a different spin on it, try to keep certain groups happy. Now, those who will get more power and gain will be different groups, depending on what happens. But tyranny will not go away. The rush to fascism will not end. It's just kind of a question of, for this next 4 years, who gets to be the fascist in charge? Who gets to have their little things greased? And on a lower level, which industries get to profit the most handsomely off of what government controls? Mostly the war machine. Anyway, this is Jay Nemro. We've been talking about using your freedom to destroy your liberty. This has been episode number 658. I'm Jay Nemro. This is Life Autistic. Hey, if you want to contact me, the email address is autism@quix.us. This is Jay Nemro. Have a great day.